Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of the Five Heart Podcast on Coronation.com and hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts, we'll go with that. This is episode number 14. I am one half of your dynamic duo. My name is Greg Bohochko. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, fellow Husker fan, and longtime broadcast buddy, and his name is Brian Toll. Brian, welcome to the in between the regular season and the bowl season, sir.
In between, sure, okay, I like that.
Well, I didn't want to call everybody it the off season because
everybody calls it recruiting.
Okay, well, that's why we keep you on hand to keep me in check, you know. Let's talk briefly, and I do not want to dwell on it because I want this to be as happy of a podcast and positive and uplifting as it can be. Last week, Nebraska went to Iowa City, except for the most part, it seemed like they kind of forgot to get off the bus. You had Ace Hardware Tommy Armstrong with his elastic strip hamstring. Not sure how that even works. And you had a drubbing, if you will, 40-10 loss to Iowa, and it hurts me to say it, man. It's been a week. We're recording this Friday night. You're going to hear it in just a few hours, but that one was tough. And I'll admit, I was hoping that my day after Thanksgiving, my Black Friday, which I spent at work, would be quiet. And for the most part, it was. I got up, watched, I think still College Game Day was on Saturday, so there wasn't the College Game Day to look forward to, but I'm hanging out at work. It is relatively quiet, naturally, until the Husker game comes on. I'm able to watch the bits and pieces of the first quarter. I missed the second and third quarters, and I'm driving home, and I get home just in time to start the fourth quarter. And by that point, you know, the score was what it was. Things were out of hand, and it just was UGLY, and it did not, sir, have an alibi.
Did you really just come out with that with your mouth?
Yeah, I like to go old school from time to time. Taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool.
Stop. No. No.
Mac Dad will make you jump.
No.
Jump.
No. I'll end this right now. I will hang up.
We'll have a one-sided podcast for the next 5 minutes because it'll be a short one if Brian leaves me.
there's no reason that needed to happen.
Ice, baby, too cold. All right, stop. Collaborate and listen.
I will seriously hang up.
All right, I'm done. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about that Iowa game. Because again, I don't want to dwell on it. I'm sure you took the time to sit there and watch everything and follow the feedback online, the game threads, and things like that. What was your take from last Friday?
Nebraska played their really first bad game of the year.
I mean, I'm not crapping on him, but could you not say that the Ohio State game was a bad game?
It was a bad game, but
for different reasons.
I think because there was a talent level that, you know, you should be able to, you can understand the talent level discrepancy and so on. Iowa doesn't have better players than Nebraska, which was the maddening thing because they played better than Nebraska did. That's the maddening thing to watch, I think. I think defensively was more. You know, I understood Tommy offensively more than anything in the world. Okay, I get that he played hurt. He was really kind of a six half dozen with Riker and him, and it was hell or high water. You know, pick your death. But I think defensively, Nebraska just probably, you know, the run that they scored on where linebackers and safety looked bad. The next play where, you know, the play action just right over where McCarron hit it. It just, that's the more frustrating thing. You figured Nebraska, and get it, yeah, there's going to be bad games, but here comes a point where you expect games to not go like that downhill that fast. I think that's the more frustrating thing. Now, the one thing I think we need to understand is that it doesn't discount the season. You know, a lot of people are sitting there going, we lost to Iowa, the season was worthless. No, the season wasn't worthless. Okay. Nebraska won the games they were supposed to win. Okay. You can say save Iowa. Okay, I buy that. But, you know, Nebraska won the games that they were supposed to win against the teams they were supposed to beat, which last year wasn't the case. And we know this, you know. And if your argument is, well, they're supposed to be beating those teams. Well, what's worse? You complaining that they only won the games they're supposed to win and were 3-2 in the coin flips, or losing a game they're supposed to win?
Like Purdue.
Yeah, or Illinois.
Yeah.
What would you complain about more?
Overall, second season with Riley and company, and we had a 4-point swing in regular, or four-game swing in regular season wins, you know? And overall, I'm pretty pleased with that. But what I do like about it is that, you know, there's obviously no time or opportunity to sit on your laurels. I mean, you've got to be aggressive, and you've got to continue to recruit, and you've got to continue to develop your talent. And, I mean, is it safe to say, I think it's safe to say, but let me get your opinion, that Nebraska is, like, they're right there, and that they're, you know, maybe a key player or two away from just being like a Wisconsin, or maybe a handful of players away from being an Ohio State, or are we leagues away from that yet? I mean,
I think you're leagues away from Ohio State, but you got to understand you're also at or close to be better than the Wisconsins, the Iowas, you know. Maybe it's one of those things that, you know, you have the players that can play your system better. I think that's a fair question. I think starting next year, there's no real excuse that Nebraska shouldn't have that. You know, and everybody loves Tommy because he's tough and everything, but at the same time, you know, sometimes with Tommy, it's a square peg in a round hole.
Tommy was
all running the offense, yes.
And again, we like you said, we love Tommy. The kid's got moxie. You know, there's something about him. I'm going to knock my dog out because she's making noise. There's something about Tommy that, you know, that grit your teeth and go out there and keep fighting attitude. But you're right. He was a player for a Pelini system. He's not the quarterback for a Riley Langsdorf system. I think we've seen that. And I'm excited to see what the spring brings. And I'm not trying to jump past the bowl game, and I'm sure we'll mention it again after the bowl game, but I'm excited to see what the spring brings as far as quarterback competition.
And I'll say this. This is a year that Langs and Riley kind of created the offense for Armstrong and what they have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They went more run first type of thing. Now, you're going to look at the stats up to the bowl game, and they've ran one less time, you know. Oh, they've only ran one less time than they did last year. Well, number one, last year that was 13 games, you know, whereas it's at 12 games now. But also got to remember something. Okay. They've ran 100 less plays than they have last year. It'll equal out in the bowl game, you know, it'll get closer in the bowl game. But yeah, remember,
they're not going to run 100 games or 100 plays in the bowl game. But yeah, what you're saying, I mean, we saw, I think, maybe not in all situations, or certainly I think when the bulk perhaps of Nebraska fans would have wanted, but we saw more game management, clock control. You know, you go back to the Illinois game, for example, when you're just running it down their throats and you're chewing up, you know, you got 14, 15, 16 plus play drives, you know, and you're chewing up 10, 11 minutes per possession. I mean, you're not just airing the ball out, throwing it, you know, perhaps three times, kicking it away, or six times and kicking, you know, something like that. You are, I don't know, the way they played the clock at, you know, at times, yeah, as their ally this year, I was impressed by that.
Here's the difference, okay? Last year, before the bowl game, Nebraska ran it 434 times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This year, they ran it 495 times.
Before
the bowl game.
Obviously.
This year, they've thrown it 358 times. Last year, they threw it 439 times.
Okay. And again, you're not going to make up 80 passes in one game, obviously, especially with the quarterbacks that we have.
But let's find differences. Last year, before the bowl game, they had 21 interceptions. This year, 9. Last year, they only caused 8 interceptions for the bowl game. This year, they've caused double that, 16. Okay. They average about the same pass, 7 to 7.5 a pass. You know, they had 873 total plays last year before the bowl game to 853 plays. Here's a kicker. Here's what makes the life easier. The opponents this year have run 779 plays. Okay. Last year was 828. That's 50 plays?
Yep. Ballpark, yeah. 49, 50.
You know, and we always complained, you know, if they didn't have that extra play, you know, one less play would have won the game for Nebraska. Well, that's, you know, 4 plays a game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds odd. You know, it sounds menial, but that adds up through the year.
I guess what it, you know, people who, there were after the Iowa loss, there were people on social media, which, again, we cannot stress enough, after a loss, especially when you're emotional and probably a little intoxicated, it's never good to hop on social media and vent your frustrations. And as we have said for a long time believers here at Coordination, you absolutely don't need to tweet those frustrations at players or recruits. It doesn't look good on us as, you know, the greatest fans in college football. Man, it kind of makes you look like an ass. It makes you look like an ass. But I forgot where I was going with that. Okay, moving on. Oh no. You know, there were people after the Iowa loss saying, you know, like, fire Mike Riley, fire Mike. It boils down to this. And yes, we would have liked to have beaten Iowa. Certainly we would have liked to have beaten Wisconsin and Ohio State. Obviously you want to go undefeated. You don't want to lose a game. Nobody wants to lose a game. But would you rather have another 5-win regular season? Or are you happy with the 4-game progress you saw and having a 9-win regular season? And if you're not happy with the 9-win regular season in year 2 of the program, and it's not because we've become complacent and we're just a 9-win team, it's a step in the right direction. Yes, we were frustrated with the record last year being 5-7 after the regular season. And yeah, we feel like we could have, but we feel like perhaps the team should have played better, maybe come away with 1 or 2 more wins. Obviously, you'd like to finish, you'd like to see your team finish the regular season in double-digit wins, but let me tell you, there are more teams that are going to have double-digit losses than that are going to have double-digit wins. Get over it. You're still on you're still trending in the right direction. And you know what? You've got a coach that you can get behind. And I don't say that just because he's a nice guy. He is. I think nobody's going to argue that. But he's not calling the fans names. He's got the support of, you know, the administration boosters, the team. He's a fun guy, and he's getting good recruits. And I'm not even the recruit guy. Brian is the recruit guy, and he can tell you about the recruit news.
And they're hiring somebody that is pretty damn good at recruiting.
Let's talk about, because after, I think it was Sunday, after the game, program assistant coach was relieved of duties and freed up a salary. Golly gee, Brian, I just can't remember how much that gentleman made. Do you happen to know that number?
Somewhere between 400 and 500,000.
That is not a bad number. I'd like to make that much. I certainly would.
Who'd say no, really?
Yeah. Now, that being said, we had some developments earlier today, again Friday the 2nd, some developments in that regard, and I think even as late as earlier tonight, sources were reporting that it was close to being a done deal. But Brian, tell us who is at least, and I don't want to say likely, I don't want to jinx it. In fact, I knock on wood anyway, but who is it, that name that's out there, and where is he coming from, and what is he really good at doing?
You spent like 20 minutes on that intro.
You're welcome.
I mean, no, I'm not.
I'm building it up. You got to hype it up, man. Now you got to deliver.
Okay, guy's name is Dante Williams. He is currently, quote unquote, the cornerbacks coach and the recruiting coordinator for Arizona football, the Arizona Wildcats. He was the secondary guy, I think, defensive coordinator at San Jose State a couple years ago. Alma mater, Syracuse. One of the top 50 recruiters in America, according to 247. The third best recruiter in the Pac-12, according to 247. I'll name some names and see if they're familiar with guys he's in on. Greg Johnson, Nathan Tilford, Joseph Lewis. Sound pretty familiar if you're Darnay Holmes, Thomas Graham, Jalen Johnson.
Now I want to speak to
pretty
that.
Pretty familiar. You're bugging me out.
I want to speak to that Darnay Holmes name, because there are some friends of ours who dropped their show earlier in the week over at the Big Red Copcast, and Pat and Ryan are awful high and say really nice things about Mr. Holmes. Ryan had suspected that after that Iowa loss, and I just want you to, explain a little bit, but Ryan expressed concern thinking that perhaps some of the recruits may have cooled on Nebraska, and you very bluntly said, with an expletive in there as well, that none of the recruits are cooling, you know.
I told him to shut the fuck up.
expletive. What, fill us in. I mean, what's your knowledge? What are you seeing? What are you following? Fill us in, man.
Well, everybody's going to be in Los Angeles this weekend. They're in Los Angeles tomorrow. I'll check out, Calabasas in their championship game.
Calabraska.
Sure. And a really cool rule when it comes to official visits, everything resets on Sunday. So you can do an in-home visit on Saturday, quote unquote, or Friday with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clock resets on Sunday. So you can go in the house, go in and do another in-home visit the very next day and hang out the entire weekend. And with the guys you want to see, like Joseph Lewis, like, Darnay, like, Brendan Radley Hiles, guys like that. So,
and I'm not, I don't say this with any type of judgment or any type of negative thoughts, but if you are a Nebraska recruit from not Calabasas, do you look at this and be like, man, I wish they would give me some of the just a fraction of the attention that they're giving these guys. And I know that you know the staff is plentiful and everybody's getting you know phone calls or texts you know as the NCAA rules allow. But you know how many of the Nebraska staff members are going to be in California this weekend?
Not all of them.
Right.
Not all. I think like six. We got like six of them.
Who do you think's in California?
Based on
Twitter and other social media information.
Riley and Perella were both in Oklahoma tonight. They're probably Perella and Riley will be in Waco tomorrow for Bishop Dunn, who's got Chevin Callaway, the Daniels kid, the DT kid. They'll be there, and a bunch of other Langsdorf Williams, Stewart, and probably a couple, and one more guy. I'm not sure exactly who will probably Tavita will probably be in LA for Tavita actually went, take that back. Tavita went to Sacramento to go see Josh Follow up in Sacramento, and then he'll probably go down to LA with those guys. But it's a cool move. I mean, you're sending, you know, I think Banker's going to be there too. You're sending who they'd be playing for there. I mean, there's no really DT wise, so Riley's with Perella trying to lock that down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not like this is the first time you're seeing these kids; it's multiple times. So
sure. And again, I know it's always a good omen. You're going to have to refresh my memory, though. It's always a good omen when a high school athlete, you know, flies into Nebraska on their dime. And who was it? Was it Holmes that did that earlier this season for like his third visit in? Or am I?
Justin Lewis.
Oh, it was Lewis. Okay. And he is a big cornerback or wide receiver,
five-star wide receiver.
And Holmes is another wide receiver, or can play both sides.
Holmes can go both corner.
What? Because I mean, if you think of Keyshawn Johnson Jr., Darnay Holmes, I mean, and then aren't they also targeting an athlete from Detroit?
The one kid that he's probably not coming. What's his name?
I know, right?
It's
okay. I put you on the spot.
You have to understand, folks. I get brain lock. There's so many names to remember.
Here's the thing. And not to say the name doesn't matter, but he is, you know, if I remember correctly, a wide receiver, cornerback.
Donovan People Jones.
Okay. I knew there was a hyphen in that last name. Does that help?
That ship's probably sailed.
Okay.
So.
Well,
I would say that Michigan's getting him. Here's the deal with Lewis, right? This is what needs to be surprised. He's a five-star. He's the fifth-best athlete in California on the composite, second-best wide receiver in America, 14th-best player in America, period. Okay? 6'2", 205.
What does an acquisition like that, how far does it bump an overall grade of a recruiting class?
He literally just turned 17.
Wow.
He literally just turned 17 like 2 weeks ago.
And he's a senior. I mean, he's...
Yeah, he's not stupid.
No. I turned 17 the summer before my senior year, and I was one of the younger ones in my class. So I'm just wondering how if they have different age cutoffs out in California or what. However it works out.
I turned 17 the second day I was a senior. So.
Okay. And he's like a varsity blues. Yeah, we're going to hold him back a year. We get him a little bit bigger for freshman football. That's obviously a different story because this, in fact, would be the opposite way. Continue. Just turned 17, so obviously he's got a very big decision to make, you know, and he's, you know, not even old enough to buy a lottery ticket yet.
And I'm pretty sure his coaches have signed off on Nebraska going because they've come a couple times. You wouldn't have a kid visit that many times, and still seeing a school if you weren't serious about going to them.
Sure. What? And I don't like bringing up the past because, you know, breakups happen for a reason. But what is, I mean, if you're a high school coach or a parent, would you say that there is, that it's a bit more attractive coming to Nebraska now than, say, 3 years ago?
In what regard?
Head coach. Like, I mean, you know exactly who these coaches are, their styles of coaching, their, I guess, what is the word I'm looking for? Their history. That's not the word I'm looking for, but their, you know the story on both these coaches. Obviously, Mike Riley, and as we can see by his recruiting efforts, thinks that, you know, Lincoln's just as special as any place else and that you can get, you know, big name players here. Bo, I believe, on record, even accidentally, though, if this is my recollection, you know, at one point stated that you can't, it's difficult to bring kids into Lincoln.
It's difficult to get flights. It's difficult to get kids to want to come on their dime and so on and so forth. And the thing about Bo, okay, at this time of the cycle, what would be happening is you'd be finding out whether or not you're in. You pretty much this time of the cycle, you find out whether your targets are in or not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What you're seeing right now, Nebraska's working Plan Bs and such like that. You know, different guys like the Gavin Holmes kid, the trying to think of a couple, the Hafiz kid, the corner Hafiz kid. Let's face it, those guys are probably Plan Bs. I'm not saying they are Plan Bs, but they're probably Plan Bs. Because if you take Darnay Holmes over the Hafiz kid, yeah, you're going to do that. If you take Elijah Blaze over him, you probably do that. Where Bo got in trouble, okay, and I'm going to get a lot of probably hate mail and hate comments, and I don't care. But where Bo got in trouble is Plan Bs ended up being like kids that would have like two MAC offers or maybe one Power 5 offer or such like that, where, you know, in the whole grand scheme of things, you shouldn't have been taking because it was a reach to begin with. Okay. That was a tough thing. You would have a couple fall here and there on your lap, Breon Carnes, and so on and so forth. But the norm was always take the kids that were probably really reaches that you shouldn't have been taking to begin with. And that completely falls on that falls on planning, you know. And the one thing Nebraska's done so well since Mike Riley's been there, their planning has been incredible. They plan, you know, at this time, you know, you wouldn't normally have 15 commits looking for 6-7 more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, but to be honest, how many names are in the fire? There's about 8-9 names in the fire right now. Okay. Well, let's face that. You know, let's take an example, 2014. Okay. You got the good kids that you really wanted, the Farmers, the Gates, the Newells and everything. And then you took reaches like Jariah Tolbert, okay? The Trey Mosleys that are not there anymore. DeAndre Wills, who never played a down in Lincoln. A.J. Bush, who is currently riding the pine at Iowa Western. Glenn Irons never found the field. Lorenzo Stewart never came to Lincoln. Okay. Cedric King, who's done little to nothing. Okay. Yeah, you got the Chris Joneses, who he's become a starter and such like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Stoltenberg, who has become a useful player and everything like that. But for all that, you have the
you can call him a stud if you want to.
I'm not even calling him a stud. You have the Joe Keels, you know. Joe Keels was the fifth best enrollee in the 2014 class. Okay, if you put Joe Keels in the 2017 class, he's within one of the three worst players that Nebraska takes.
So it's going after. Wait,
Let me double check that.
Would you say, just in simplified terms, because I, you know, recruiting to me is, I know it's important, but it's very much over my head. It's when I when EA Sports still made NCAA football, it was, you know, and I had my program, it was one of the things that I dreaded doing every quote unquote week was recruiting. Would you say that, and no disrespect to the players who are on the Nebraska football team right now, but would you say that this staff is going after a better class, a better quality, you know, athlete? I would say
that they're making sure there's a relationship there first and foremost. Okay. I would say that then they're keeping with it. That's one thing both staff did really not a good job of. They kept with it. They did not keep with relationships. The staff keeps the relationships, keeps, you know, you never hear, well, I haven't heard from these guys for a long while. I haven't heard this, I've heard that, and everything like that, you know. And I've talked about this at times, and it kind of made people mad the other day. You know, there are guys that probably could be processed in this class. You know, I mean, here's a couple names. Adam Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Taylor's been there in Nebraska for 4 years. I don't think he's played one regular offensive down.
I don't think he has either. I know he's doing well on special teams.
He's not played special teams in the last few games either.
Huh.
Okay. Now, take a kid like Adam Taylor. He's done well. He's going to get his degree. Okay. Is it really the meanest thing in the world to look at?
Was he all Adam Texas?
What's that?
Was he an All-Texas football player, or however the rankings are in Texas?
He was a 5A player of the year. He was a four-star kid
so,
that LSU wanted, but he hurt his ACL the year before senior year, Katie. But the one thing that everybody came enamored with him was that his last game at Katie, which was the 5A state championship, he ran for like three bills.
I vaguely remember watching some of that up here. Don't ask me how.
But here's the question. Here's what I ask. Is it mean to look at Adam Taylor, have his degree in hand, and say, you know what, thank you for your contribution?
I don't think that's mean at all. I mean, he got, at the very least, he got his degree. He got a college education. He was on scholarship, so as far as I'm understanding things, it didn't cost him anything.
Yeah.
Unless you're explicitly telling a high school player, you know what, we're gonna, you know, strap the rocket to you, and we're going to make you a 1,000-yard rusher. You're gonna, you know, what is it? I hear this from another podcast that's not football related. But anyway, you're gonna roll your eyes, but there might be one or two people out there who understand. And I'll be quite honest with you. It's a podcast that I listen to all the time. But it's a pro wrestling podcast, and it's one of those things they say, you know, when you get to the WWE and you sit down with Vince McMahon, he's not going to say, you know, we're going to put the title on you or anything like that. He's like, we're going to give you an opportunity. And so I think that's what – I'm sure that's what, you know, happens in most high school kids, you know, family rooms around the country is – we're not going to put the rocket on you. We're not going to guarantee you a Heisman or a national championship, unless you go to Alabama, apparently. But we're going to give you an opportunity. Is that fair to say? So, do you think that's what most recruiting visits are? Okay.
I think that's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't ever become that way. It's never perfectly that way.
If all you get from your scholarship, your full ride scholarship to University of whatever. If the very least that you get is your degree in hand paid for, you still come out way ahead from a lot of people, you know?
Your debt is legitimately less than 85, 90, 95% of the people that go to school next to you?
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm going to read off the 2013 class.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
You tell me if they contributed or not. Okay. Some are obvious, some are not. Terrell Newby.
Okay.
This is highest to lowest. Yes. Terrell Newby.
Yes.
Did he fulfill being a four-star at Nebraska? I say yes.
I would say if he had one more season like he had this season, I would have said yes.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Next guy. Now, this is in rankings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're going top to bottom ranking. Randy Gregory.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, Amy, he's not done anything. He'll never do anything at the Cowboys anymore, but yeah. Adam Taylor.
No.
No. Banderas.
What was his ranking?
He was a four-star. He was the best player in Nebraska, 252nd best player in America.
I'm going to say no, and that might be a little bit harsh, but I mean, he led the team in tackles for most of the season. But again,
I think he was a late bloomer. Late bloomer.
Right. And I think you say the same about Newbie. The difference being that Newbie didn't steal bicycles.
Very true.
So I'm going to say player. No. I'm going to say no on Bando. Sorry, Bando.
Next player, Stanton.
No.
No. Next player, Marcus Newbie.
You know what? Four-star or three?
He was a French four.
I'm going to say no just because I think he had a lot of potential that didn't always get an opportunity. You know, situational. So I'm going to say no. But it's not because I don't like the kid.
Now, remember, I think he's got one more year left. So.
Okay. Well, wait and see. I think you're right, but we'll wait and see.
He's a junior this year.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it then.
Next name. This is when it gets easy. Ready? AJ Natter.
Who?
Exactly. DJ Singleton.
Nope.
Exactly. David Kneel.
Again.
Starter.
Potential, but got outplayed and lost his spot. It's probably how I mean, also, I know he battled some injuries this year, but at the same time, even when he was healthy, I still think that Whitaker or Conrad were playing better than him.
All right, next name. And a guy that probably Nebraska misses a lot more than they want to admit. Courtney Love.
Ooh. There were a lot of those guys who jumped ship, you know, and followed a particular coach here or there that I would have liked to have had back. So I'm going to say didn't work out for us, but that was not as – I mean, that wasn't fully, Nebraska's fault.
I think it would have worked out pretty well for Nebraska.
In a Mike Riley situation?
In with Trent Bray instead of Ross Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the honest gut truth. And I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It would have worked a lot better. Just to me, I guess. Let me look.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, I would have been a lot better linebacker under Trent Bray than Ross Ellis. So,
Courtney Love this year has this year 68 total tackles, one sack, one tackle for loss, one.
Did he have a fumble? Did he force a fumble? Because apparently our senior linebackers didn't do that ever.
He recovered a fumble.
Is it just me? I mean, like I sit there and I look at him like, you know, we could use a turnover here. You know, like we got in that Minnesota game that I, you know, shared that tweet or I mean that text conversation. But man, last few years it seems just fumbles have been hard to come by from this defense.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, next name. Malik Collins.
Yes.
Yes.
I was going to say, by golly, I would have liked to have had him one more year.
Zach Hannon.
No.
Definitely not. Next name, Seathan Carter.
Yes.
A kid that I did not want at Nebraska.
Well, look
because
at you.
I thought there were like three or four better tight ends, and I flat out said they settled for Seathan Carter.
And look at him now, all hyperextending his elbow for you, Bri.
Nate Jerry.
Yes.
Greg Hart.
No.
Kevin Gladney.
No.
Matt Finnan.
Stepdaddy Matt on Twitter. Or Stepdaddy Finnan on Twitter. No.
Exactly. Boaz Joseph.
No, but that was one that, you know, I think we had high hopes for.
We thought they were going to work, yeah. Here's one that I know the answer already. Dwayne Johnson.
If you smell, no.
This is how you answer Dwayne Johnson. Ready? He wasn't on the 105 the last 2 years when the season started.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Suttles.
Nope.
How about a nice wine punch? Kevin Maurice.
Yes.
Kevin Maurice has done better than they thought. Chongo.
Oh, Chongo. I miss you so much. I will say yes.
No.
Don't mock me, Brian. You can't take away my love of Chongo.
I don't think so.
That's fine. You asked my opinion. I gave it.
The last guy is Gabe Miller.
No.
Well, I give Gabe a wash. He was hurt.
Who is Gabe Miller?
He was your long snapper that got injured.
Okay, in that case, we'll take Gabe Miller. That's the problem with a long snapper, man. You don't ever know him. Nobody ever remembers a long snapper. But the long snappers have, like, the longest careers, you know, in the NFL.
All right, so this time next week, we're going to have a podcast. We're going to know who our opponent is. We're going to bitch and moan about it, right? Right.
Any speculation?
I say we go to Nashville.
You know what? If it was Nashville, and here's the thing. If it were Nashville and it was 2 years ago, I'd be there. Nashville, now, with who'll be 1 month or 1 year old son, I'm not going to be able to attend. That being said, I would really like to. I know that by the way, if you don't listen to the Big Red Cobcast, you probably should. They were speculating and even hoping that it was, I believe, the Outback Bowl in LSU.
I think Nebraska losing to Iowa kind of screws them on the Outback.
That's what they did say, that there's a chance Iowa sneaks ahead of Nebraska based on the head-to-head. But knowing that Nebraska travels better, you know, that they mentioned it as a possibility. I'm just rehashing things that you already heard earlier in the week, folks.
And to be fair, I'm okay with Nashville. I mean, let's face it, the Big 10, some of the bowl alignments with the Big 10 can't suck enough anyway. Nashville's drivable from Lincoln.
Oh, sure. Okay. Nashville's only a few hours, or, you know, just a couple hours away from me. And considering that there are no Rams in St. Louis anymore, if I want to see the Steelers, it's going to be either Nashville or Indianapolis, probably. Maybe Chicago if I get a wild hair at my butt. I hope I don't have a wild hair at my butt. Brian? Everybody, I think we just lost Brian. That's official. We just lost Brian. Brian didn't want to hear about any more wild hairs. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. You've heard our thoughts, and we're almost at about 45 minutes now or so. So we'll see you next time. And like you said, like Brian said, when you hear this, we'll know who the Big Ten champ was. We'll know who Nebraska will have in the bowl game, unless that Navy game situation, that American bowl trophy, that you know, that might throw a wrench into things. But we'll have a better idea next week. And in the meantime, remember that 5 heart is all the heart you need. Go Big Red.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.